first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast, show number 109. We've got a scream there. It's Stuart Hawes' Christmas special. Isn't it, Stuart? You're here, and this is your last show before Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You know it's getting towards Christmas when people are off after this show for the rest of Christmas. We are going to do our own Christmas special.
We've got six of us today.
There's six of us around the table. We've got Stuart Hall, we've got John Day, we've got Daniel Silva, we've got Jerome Mundell, we've got Mike Cox, and we've got myself, Jim Staples.
Hello.
I'm quite impressed I've managed everyone's name. You asked for a stat, did you not?
Right.
Show 109. I couldn't get a stat for show 109. For love nor money. Give me a chance. I think you're going to like this. There is a but, John Day. Leeds. I decided to just Google search the term,
the number 109,
English football 109, because I did football 109 and it just came out with American football. I did UK football and nothing really came up, so I did English football 109. So if you're a listener, well, you are a listener if you're listening to this, go into Google search, type in English football 109, and you will get a picture of Tony DiRigo. Tony DiRigo, number 109, Panini Super Players, 1996, English Premier League football sticker.
So he was 109 in the sticker.
He was sticker number 109. It's for sale for 35p from the website that you'll find. I had Tony DiRigo from 109. We went to Tony DiRigo. From Tony DiRigo, I looked at Tony DiRigo and what he meant. What we've got is that apparently he's one of the best golfers in football ever. To almost the professional standards.
Well, there was a few who turned. Was it Roy Wergler or whatever he was
Wegley.
Called?
Wegley.
Wergler. I pronounce it.
Sounds like
how
a wrestler.
I see them.
Oh, don't give him that. Don't give him that.
Always give me the in.
He was born on the 31st of December 1965, which makes him 46. Guess where he was born?
Melbourne, Australia.
Melbourne, Victoria, Australia.
Yeah.
So he's already linked to the podcast in that thread. So then I went from 109 to Tony DiRigo to Melbourne to English players that have played for England but were born in other countries.
Yep.
1,194 players have played for England, of which only 35 were born outside of England.
But still quite considerable.
John Barnes is one.
Do you count the Channel Islands? Because I don't.
Yep, you do. There's a lot, but the most recent ones, Graham Rousseau's a good shout. Anyone else?
Owen Hargreaves.
Yep.
Raheem Sterling.
Yes, very good.
John Barnes.
The latest one. Made his debut in the last game.
Wilfried Zaha.
Boom. Right, I'm going to go down the list of the ones we've heard of. Terry Butcher was born in Singapore. Cyril Regis, French Guinea. Luther Blissett and John Barnes, Jamaica. Well done for John Barnes. Brian Steen, South Africa. Tony DiRigo, Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. Show 109 is what it'll ever be known as. John Sulaco, Nigeria. Rob Jones, Wales. Graham Rousseau, Jersey. Matatise, Guernsey. Owen Hargreaves, Canada. Raheem Sterling, Jamaica. Wilfried Zaha, Ivory Coast. Boom, there's your 109.
Joey Barton, France as well.
Definitely. Right, open to the table, stats out of the way. Standout or standout performance from the last show. So we recorded this last Wednesday. It's Wednesday today.
Oh, please let me start. Pick me.
No.
Dan, you can mention Bradford City now.
I was actually... Stand down for Arsenal. And because the obvious one for standout is Bradford City.
Everything's been saying about Arsenal and rubbish. Let's give Bradford City some credit.
They are a
League Two side, and
they played them for big periods of that game.
Yeah, they looked. I really didn't think Arsenal were going to score.
Four minutes away from
I know they hit the post, but other than they were really good.
Yeah.
And to get to the semi-finals, a massive thing. Unfortunately, if I was a Bradford fan, don't think I'd be very pleased because they're pushing for the playoffs. and they could still get automatic in league. So they've now got a two-legged semi-final, which is going to take so much focus away from their league campaign.
It'll be great for them if they get Chelsea, if Chelsea go through, or if they get
Leeds. Leeds are not Chelsea, aren't they? So.
Because that would at least be a derby or a massive game.
And that's not this week, because the Chelsea are in the Super
Club World Championship in Tokyo.
Yeah. And Leeds aren't in that this season, are they?
They travelled, but they
some of the fans have gone out there looking for a fight.
That's just a normal day.
Yeah. Alright, so we got Bradford. I will put the Arsenal fans in the stand down. They took 4,500 last night, which is mightily impressive for Bradford on a Tuesday night.
On TV.
Yeah, and it was on TV. Bradford had their highest crowd at Valley Parade for 50 years.
Ever.
When they announced the crowd, the Arsenal fans jeered and booed. So I was like, so much. Just because it wasn't in the football spirit either.
Those Arsenal fans, they're terribly behaved, aren't they? Yeah.
Well, no,
they're the worst behaved fans of the week for me.
You get the point I'm making. Yes, I was watching last night and I was like, that's a bit much. And fair play to Bradford as well. For the club.
So what was the total?
24, I think. Yeah, 24. Yeah. Capacity's 26.
Did they not
and I think
even
it was 22.
That in the Premier League?
Apparently not. Not sure why, whether that was because Arsenal
maybe they've extended
fans
the stadium
or, absolutely fantastic. Considering all the clubs they've got around them as well, their catchment area is actually quite small. I know Bradford's a big place, but there's a lot of big clubs around that area to pull that many in. Well, yeah, not just Leeds. There's other clubs as well. Sheffield,
there were a fair few
Rotherham.
Fans as well. There was a geezer sitting behind the dugout, so the Tottenham coat on and a little Bradford scarf. It was all very pretty.
I bet he had a great time.
What's your name, Dan?
No,
right, any more standouts?
Well, I was going to say stand down North London in general, because it's been a bit of a shitty week for both Arsenal and Tottenham at the weekend.
Yes,
extend to West London probably.
Yeah,
you're right.
And,
London.
And I suppose
game.
East London as well for West Ham. So London's had a bad week, apart from Chelsea. But
that the Everton game, it was pretty astonishing that turnaround. That turnaround, wasn't it?
Not really, mate.
It was two goals in 90th minute or 89th minute, and you could tell from watching the highlights, as soon as they scored that first goal, the 4 minutes went out straight away, didn't it? And it was just like good surprise, a proper ground.
I know it's a load of bollocks, but you could say if football finished after 80 minutes, Spurs would be top of the table. Like, we have conceded, we've thrown away, I think it's 15 or 14 or 15
points. Did anyone see Match of the Day
in the last 10 minutes? No.
If teams that conceded first went on to lose the game, Man United would be second bottom.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's the biggest thing with Spurs is not being able to hold on to see out a win. It's been the problem all season, so I wasn't that surprised, to be honest. Disappointed, but I'm over it.
It's a lovely finish from Jelovic as well. It looked easy, but to be onside and to get that near, like, absolutely stand. Villa last night, Jay, you must have something to say about that.
I'm delighted. Semi-final.
Because Darren Bent came off injured.
He did, yeah. And then his replacement scored
twice.
So he's got...
Who's got...
Vyman, his name.
Vyman. And Austrian?
Austrian. Decent player. He's right.
You don't think of Austrians.
He's got a couple against you boys as well. Good finishes. So, yeah.
Good for Lambert against Norwich as well.
Against Norwich as well.
Shut him up, I guess.
Apparently, he didn't get that much abuse because obviously where he's brought Norwich from, I think 12th in the League One and got back-to-back promotions. So a lot of people have a lot of credit to give him, respect for him. So
you needed that result, though.
We needed that result. We're still fourth from bottom in the league, but
it's something to push on to.
Actually, Sunderland won last night.
I was just going to say as well.
Yeah,
that, speaking
night.
Of needing a result, Sunderland, bloody hell, they didn't half need that, did they?
Yeah.
Well, Reading
do
too.
Yeah, well, I think Reading have
gone.
I know we're going to naughty boys, but throwing in on that subject, just throwing in a little early naughty boy is a Danny Guthrie. He refused to travel last night because his head wasn't in the right place.
Yeah, presumably his head was back in Reading.
Sounds horrible. That could be a serious injury, fellas. Let's not laugh about
that. Imagine him stuck between two fence poles in Reading now.
I can't make it.
It's a horrible feeling, isn't it? Yeah. Worst feeling in the world when you think you've got your head stuck in something. There's no worse feeling than that. I've got my head stuck. I won't say where I was, but Stuart, last week you were on our naughty boys list.
You were. So you were our only naughty boy.
For getting arrested.
That was close
to getting arrested. Yeah. This week, you needed a win up there. But, I mean, Wigan, it's not the easiest place to go.
Depends which Wigan turns up.
Depends which Wigan turns up.
Got there first.
True.
But.
We've just got a sad face.
Stu's match reflection. He's just smiling.
His bottom lip's starting to go.
It's alright. Tony Fernandez is staying positive on Twitter.
That's the worst thing. We actually went ahead and then three minutes to us.
You could tell from...
sorry, if you didn't get that, that's fucking ridiculous, was what Stuart Alder said.
Well, Tony Fernandez is telling the QPR fans on Twitter to keep laughing, but I don't think he's managing to differentiate between the QPR fans and the away fans at Loftus Road, because they're in...
Buck will be laughing when he can't charge as much for season tickets next year.
He probably will still do that, though. Yeah. Ken Bates at Leeds has had problems with that. McCarthy, when he scored the second goal, the QPR players, he had three or four defenders around him, which should have got to the ball. As soon as that goal went in, the players went mental.
They were like,
under 10s. Proper tantrums.
And their player was offside. They're bad for the second goal.
Technicalities, Stuart, technicalities.
He shot, hasn't he? And their player was behind the line in front of the goalkeeper, so he's interfering with play.
Okay. You've got a point to be made there. Need a win. Yeah. Right, so, don't know.
Who have you got next?
Fulham
home.
Derby.
We're just trying to make QPR a little bit more interesting for this year. I'm still going on my prediction from before the season, QPR to go down, but it's got scoffed at. Sorry, Stu.
Any more standouts?
My standout for the week has to go to, because inevitably we're going to go on to it, Joe Hart, but also Carlos Tevez. For a lot's been said about Joe Hart stopping that fan.
Tevez needs to stand out for replacing Balotelli. Well, he needs to stand down for walking straight down the tunnel. Yeah. I'm done with him now.
Yeah, talking about that game, then surely Ashley Cole's mum and brother need to stand
out. What an idiot. I'm going to go on to Ashley Cole.
Michael's just making a point about his stand-up. Then he just looked at me and gave the look of like, we've got the same jumper on, and did that.
You have got the same jumper on.
I think mine's a slightly different shade.
No, you've got exactly the same jumper on.
Have a look in the light. That's nice. Good taste,
Jim. Should we go outside and make some goalposts out of them? Jumpers for goalposts. Lovely. Show title done. Anyway.
There we go. But no, a lot's been made. Joe Hart obviously very well getting in between. Clearly reacted to a situation when you've just lost in the last minute to your rival.
Interesting as well. Ferdinand, quite rightly, because he just shit himself. You would. Because you see someone running towards you. And I was watching the clip when we saw it on YouTube. My housemate was like, oh, look at Ferdinand shit himself. Are you joking? He's just seen someone run off the pitch, and he would have just caught him as he was approaching him, and he was like, but he's tiny. I went,
Rio Ferdinand caught in the face of a corner as well.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, but he's tiny. Rio Ferdinand shit himself. Rio Ferdinand has not got time to weigh up how big the guy is. The guy's got a knife or gun on him. You're going to shit yourself. I would have had to fucking change my shorts.
The geezer's got the balls to run onto the pitch and try and attack someone. Yeah. He's not going to be mentally stable, is he?
No. But, don't say the balls, because that gives him credit.
He's got the idiot.
He has got the presence of mind to not do that. Which is just...
As I was saying, Carlos Tevez was also in there trying to defuse the situation. I hate the man, and he should have been sent off 2 minutes late for kicking Phil Jones.
Yeah, it was a rational kick, wasn't it? In front of Fergie as well. And did anyone notice Ferguson's celebration when the goal went in? He did the little jump. The Fergie jump. He's such an idiot.
It's brilliant. He can only move his arms like John McCain about halfway up.
Speaking of Man City, though, what on earth has Joni and Lescott done? He is now, obviously, down the pecking order, below Toure, who at the start of the season was off. Like he was, Mancini made it very clear that Toure was not part of his deals, part of his ideas for this season. And now he's coming on ahead of Lescott. What's he done?
A new sub on Sunday.
Good-looking lad like him's probably been hitting on all the wives.
But company came off, didn't he? Company came off early, and they brought on Toure. He picked him to come on.
Who played pretty well, as well.
That Nasic. He's left sided, and so is Julian Lescott as well, so that might be a reason why.
So you dropped the other guy?
That's not a good enough excuse to not.
And also, the reason why this Serb's come in is that he's better on the ball.
He's now the Serb.
He's better on the ball than
Joey
and Lescott.
Man City won the title last year on clean sheets.
But the whole point
Before Sunday's game, they had the best home defensive record in the league, though, I think.
I
think they're the best defensive record in the league, full stop.
You can't
fit
around your defence.
I've got just another little standout for me. It's Norwich. Norwich City are now on a 9-game unbeaten run. Apart from the Carling Cup.
They very nearly choked, though, didn't they? Because it got back to 3-2, didn't it? They needed that free kick, which was a great free kick, by the way.
It's not great. Leeds.
10 yards in front of where it should have been taken, wasn't it?
Didn't see that.
What is it with you and your technicality? Exactly. He's been negative. It's Christmas, Joe. Yeah. It's Christmas.
All the little things, QPR.
One other standout. I watched the West Ham Liverpool game, and Liverpool played some great stuff.
Is that are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm not. Liverpool, honestly,
led by CBG.
Yeah, well, that goal. If you look at that goal as well, I actually made the point halfway through that move. The keeper rolled out. What they do? Joe Allen comes really deep, gets the ball from was it Rainer in goal? I can't remember. I think it was Rainer in goal. Gets the ball really deep, and then they just spray it around from there. And they started passing it around. And I actually said to my housemate, "said this is a really good move. They've kept the ball. They put it left, put it right, and they had Allen and to be fair, Henderson, who's got a load of stick recently, he came on and played really well. And they sprayed the ball around. I know it was an own goal in the end, but the whole move, the cross in, and Shelby got in front of his marker, which is what caused the goal. I think has it gone down as a Shelby? No, it's gone down as a Collins own goal. Yeah. Gone down as Collins own goal. But yeah, they actually played some really good stuff.
They are playing good football.
You've seen their next fixtures as well. About their hardest game, the next four is Villa, which shows you how hard their fixtures are. I could really see him having a really good Christmas period.
That young lad who I've not seen playing for him before, Joe Cole, looked quite good as well.
He did,
when he came on.
Absolutely.
Wonder what will become of him.
Yeah, no, we'll see.
Good prospect,
see.
Sorry, just very quickly going back to the Manchester derby. What the fuck was Robert Duvall and Tom Cruise doing there?
Well, they're obviously Tom Cruise is originally from Ormston in Manchester, of course.
Little known fact.
He hides the accent very well, and Robert Duvall just likes football.
Yeah, he likes.
He's actually got a dog named after Willie Johnson. He used to play for Rangers.
Is that an actual fact?
That's an actual fact.
He said that on live TV.
That is brilliant. That is brilliant.
Tom Cruise apparently has been an English football fan since the 80s. That was his first game. On Sunday.
Yes, yes.
Massive football fan.
He's a proper United fan.
To be fair, the way the prices have gone up since the 80s, he probably couldn't afford it. So, could afford the helicopter up from his filming in London, but there you go. One other thing, Arsenal, the penalties.
Terrible.
Absolutely. Terrible. The one was the dive, and the other one was. I don't think there was a foul, actually, for the second one. I think people are nitpicking there. But they weren't pens, were they? No. Let's be honest.
I thought you were talking about their actual taking in the shootout, because they were just as bad.
If not worse.
Leave it, Dan. Come on. We've all moved past.
Sorry, mate.
We've all had a drink. Dan Silver is drinking two drinks today as well. Yeah.
Christmas pie tonight, isn't it?
Well, that and you didn't have any cash, you had to pound cards, so you had to get it over a fiver, so you thought I'd have two drinks.
Okay, why are we this small? We're nitpicking today, aren't we? I've got two pints. Christmas party tonight, all right?
I've learned to describe better. Elsewhere from me, a few things to point out. Ipswich won again. DJ Campbell. Stu, thoughts on DJ Campbell? Mick McCarthy's made an immediate impact there, and they beat Millwall. They thumped him, actually. 3-0, DJ Campbell got two. So point out to that.
Cardiff are flying, aren't they? 4-1 win away at Blackburn.
Yes, and on the Friday night. Bellamy, the home record we talked about last week.
In that division, though, you should be going somewhere.
Bellamy didn't
look the QPR fan talking about people spending money.
Spend a hell of a lot in the Championship.
And not in the Championship. You should have kept the same players.
Should have done.
Well, Green was back in the team this week, wasn't he?
Cardiff.
Oh, mate, they love him. They absolutely love him. And against Blackburn, he's just ridiculous. He's the best player in the Championship for me. Statistically, the best player in the Championship. He's come on.
I tell you, Bellamy did another one of that great celebration of not celebrating that we see so often these days.
What is all that about?
He's so big time, that's why.
Oh, he's a big
time. It's becoming almost like people are doing it to celebrate themselves.
I want to see someone go mental when they score against their own. Joe Cole, just fucking give it.
Two laps.
I understand.
He set the precedent.
I understand if you've come through that club, played there for years and whatnot. But Bellamy had one season at Blackburn.
And he's been to other clubs since.
He'd moved on from them straight away.
All right, we'll move on. Brentford absolutely flying, beat NK Dons 3-2.
Oh, there's a reason you're happy.
Stand out. Yeah, I hate NK Dons. I fucking hate them.
Still, we don't condone violence on the football podcast,
exactly,
do we?
Stand down. Stroke. All right, Jay, I was getting there. Tapping his finger on the
And I've just said, but we don't condone violence. We were leading nicely into it.
Okay.
We're informing people what's happening.
Okay,
well, you're informing people by tapping on a bit of newspaper.
Two drink down.
I'm getting a bit aggressive, sorry.
What allegedly happened, the Twitter rumours were the MK Dons manager has been bottled glassed after the game. And thought, oh my God, what's actually happened? He's walking to his coach and someone's thrown a pint of beer in his direction. That's from what I can make out so far. But they still go down as naughty boys and what have you, and we condone it. But I'd like
to condone it, did you say?
We don't condone it.
Against MK Dub. Fuck him.
Everyone else doing it. To be fair, I'm actually...
Yeah, where were you last night?
I'm actually disappointed that Cardiff... It wasn't last night, it was Saturday.
Sorry, where were you Saturday?
Actually, that's a different story. I was getting beaten up in Rotherham, but Carl Robinson, I actually quite like as a manager, and I don't like he's there. No, they've got a new ground now, New York. In fact, it was my third trip to Rotherham, which is my fifth trip to Rotherham, but it was the third time I've seen him at a different ground. I went to the Millmore, went to Don Valley, and then I went to the New York. But I walked into the wrong pub and very nearly got beaten up.
And that's another story.
Different story.
For another day.
Yeah, absolutely. Bournemouth won again. We pointed out the impact that Eddie Howe's made there. They did play Scunthorpe, who were basically the given in that league at the moment. Because them and Hartlepool were just absolutely rubbish. Moving on to our league, League Two. Dagenham and Redbridge have got the smallest budget in that league. They're an absolutely tiny club. Their own fans call them a pub team. And their run they're on is absolutely fantastic. They won away at Bristol Rovers. Bristol Rovers are a big club as well. Yeah, Bristol Rovers, they're not having a great time, but they're still a decent side. They're absolutely fine. They lost one of their best players to Peterborough as well.
Can I just step in and mention Bolton? That's it.
Yeah, there we go. There's not enough Bolton talk on this podcast.
That's for someone very special that's listening. Yeah. So, Bolton, go. The other one, my standout is a lad called, I've written down his name somewhere, Adam Mecky. Plays for Aldershot Town. They were 1-0 down at Oxford away and he scored an absolute pearler. You might not have seen it. It's League Two. It's not as sexy and as glossy as all your clubs, but he got the Sky Sports News goal of the day. Look it up. If you haven't seen it, look it up. It'll still be on the BBC. Curled one in from miles out. And if, you know when it's like proper postage stamp? Proper top corner. Absolutely great goal.
Are you sure it hasn't been updated for... My bullet header I scored last night, that's now the goal of the week.
Well, the goal that no one's aware of.
Yeah. First time I've heard anything about it.
Yeah, it was surprising.
And hopefully the last time.
I didn't see anything about that. One last one, which is actually a result from last night. Newport, who we've been looking at in the conference, they slipped down a little bit. They were third ahead of last night's game. They played Luton, who were right
big
up
game,
there. Massive game. Newport 5, Luton 2.
5-2.
Absolutely. Jay again is tapping at the paper. Well done, Jay.
That's for all the Morse code fans out there.
Yeah.
next week's show is going to be entirely in Morse code.
We should do a Christmas special in Morse code.
Oh, definitely. This is the Christmas special for sure.
What's the thing that the twats do with the flags?
Wave them?
No, you know, the Navy
flag
thing. Where it's got a special name.
I was going to say, we could do it all in mime, but that wouldn't really be very good for a podcast, would it?
To be fair, Stu does the podcast in mime most weeks.
Right. Someone would like to make a football point. John Day.
Have we covered why Newport are doing so well in the league?
Are you talking about the lottery?
Yeah, lottery guy, yeah.
Go. I don't think we have, so yeah.
Oh, no, I was just saying, they've been given one of the chaps in Wales, who obviously lives near Newport, won like $46 million on the lottery.
Just gave a load of money.
And they've given them $8 million so far.
Which is why they managed to sign Lee Minchell, friend of the show.
Doing so well.
I've just remembered something as well.
Money talks.
A girl who I went to, who I lived with, in fact, at university, her dad was, and might still be, I didn't know. My friend did.
Did you watch?
No, I heard that.
Did you wank a little bit?
Shush.
No, Daniel, I didn't. I'm not like you.
Carry up.
Her dad might still be the chairman of Newport County.
Might still be the chairman.
He was.
I'm glad I kept interrupting them, because that's
rubbish.
I'm
going to
look that up for next
I know
week.
Someone that might be someone somewhere.
I've stayed in his flat.
Fellas,
lovely.
So Newport County won 5-2. They're now 2 points clear of Grimsby Town, who are in second. Proper club Grimsby. Right, any fixtures from the week ahead that you're looking forward to particularly?
City Newcastle. Two teams
just
that need
early,
a win.
Early game on Saturday.
Two teams that will be desperate.
So in the Premier League, we've got Liverpool Villa. That's a home win.
Yeah,
Man United Sunderland, Newcastle Man City is the 12:45. Norwich Wigan, QPR Fulham. That's a massive game. Massive game.
Shoot, wake up.
It's a 12-pointer.
And Stoke Everton, where Peter Crouch will be sporting his branded mouth guard.
Oh, I thought he had braces. I think he's got braces now as well.
Branded Stoke City mouth guards. They'll be flying out of the shots for Christmas.
You know, we were talking about crap merch.
Yeah,
no one's tall enough to get there.
That definitely fits in there. And then the
Super Sunday
game is it's not that super. West Brom versus West Ham.
God,
Battle of the West, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fred and Rose are going to be there.
It's actually Spurs Swansea's 1 o'clock game. That might not be a bad game.
Moving
down, I've picked a couple that I'm looking forward to. Championship, Hull versus Huddersfield.
Big York
derby. Yeah, both doing very well. Hull flaps it front home. League One, Sheffield United versus Tranmere. Tranmere have been top for a long, long time. Sheffield United hot on the heels, got a decent win at Carlisle on Saturday. And in our league, in League Two, Cheltenham are home to Port Vale. Massive game.
I think you can sense the excitement.
Come on. They've got the joint top scorer in the league, and he's a Port Vale fan as well, Tom Pope. Tom Pope, a Port Vale fan. Statistically, the best striker in the world.
Was he chosen by God?
No, although did you see that the Pope did tweet today?
Did he? First.
But do we know who hasn't tweeted? Harry Redknapp.
He's already gone.
He's gone. He came on Twitter, he's now off Twitter.
Already?
You know, when the Pope tweeted, did he just tweet a load of white smoke?
On Twitter.
See, that's a joke for anyone who understands a Catholic church.
I like that. I'm having that. Hang on. No, nothing.
Nothing. Oh no, when the Pope gets elected, the white smoke.
There
yes.
you go.
Yes.
Fucking
Da Vinci
time.
Code.
Did whilst we're talking of little one-liners like that, Kiki Mazampa. Did everyone see that his brother Chris is apparently going to pitch up at a Premier League club quite soon?
No.
Kiki Mazampa, his brother Chris.
Chris.
Say it out loud.
Christmas hamper.
Christmas hamper. Come on.
And I thought, man.
Come on. Even Dan actually thought that you're quite.
Right.
You don't mind that, do you?
Yeah, right. Right.
Football pub. Yes, Joel. Fans of the football podcast, go home tonight, speak to the wife, speak to the girlfriend, speak to a mate, and just do the Christmas hamper game.
At go least on, it's not the Motherwell joke.
No, we could go back to that if we want. No, don't start me on that. Right, any more for any more?
Naughty Boys of the Week.
Naughty Boys of the Week. There's a lot of Naughty Boys of the Week.
There's quite a lot of Naughty Boys this week. I am going to go with.
Curtis Good. For playing in the FA Cup and getting Bradford knocked out?
I mean, that's pretty stupid.
It's not his fault, is it? He got picked. He's not going to not play.
No, I suppose it's not.
He probably doesn't know the rules.
Do you know who set the precedent for this as well? In 1998, Gillingham had a player on loan from West Ham called Maniomi Imni.
What?
Maniomi Imni.
It's a great name.
It is a great name, and he wasn't a bad player. So he played for us in the League Cup. West Ham got to the League Cup quarter final or semi final against Middlesbrough and he played for them. So he forgot that he played in the Cup.
So
Curtis Good. For Jill's then?
No. Exactly. They mishapped and they had to replayed it rather than actually getting thrown out. But yeah, Curtis Good, Newcastle United. They drew 1-1 with Brentford and they're now getting chucked out, although they have appealed. Right, Naughty Boys of the Week.
I'm going to say, what? We've got a couple.
Brentford fans already in there.
Yeah.
And we've got who?
We
have
Danny Guthrie.
Well, Danny Guthrie.
The Man City fans are in there.
Man City fans. We've got Brentford fans. Ashley Cole's family.
We've got loads already.
We also got Anderlecht, right? Anderlecht start. Now, this is an absolute nightmare of a name.
And Balotelli's in there for walking straight down the tunnel.
Yeah.
And Arsenal fans are in there for jeering the Bradford crowd.
Absolutely. And Anderlecht star. Jumurki
Bacani.
Jumurki Bacani.
Bacani, right?
Sounds like a takeaway.
This is a really
random one. You don't pronounce
one.
The M.
Thanks, mate. Silent M. Has been forced to apologise to other families who he rents his houses to after he forgot to pay the gas bill and they were left freezing at the start of winter at the coldest time in Anderlecht. I mean, that's fucking. That's more of a Muppet of the week. And then I've also got.
Just
he's
in charge of stuff like that.
Nah, he is. We wouldn't leave women in charge of that sort of thing.
Yeah,
Talking of landlords and going back to university, my sister used to live in a house owned by Steve Stone. But that's another story for another time.
That's very random. But I've got Wanker of the Week.
Oh,
Wanker of the Week. Yeah, was it me listening to my housemate?
No. I've got a Wanker of the Week.
Can I do Fat Cunt of the Week after you?
Yeah, good.
Lovely.
Wanker of the Week. Definitely.
Oh, no. From downtown.
Bang out of order.
No, let's ban the C word now. Sorry.
No C words.
I should never have used it. As host, I don't condone that.
I will use it again.
I do condone bottling.
Does that mean we've got another Naughty Boy of the Week in Jim and Stu?
Put Stu in there as a given. Hey, right, who's your one?
Wanker of the Week is Saint-Étienne's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Right, who warmed up for the match against Lyon in an outrageous $2,500 pair of boots that were encrusted with 4,000 Swarovski crystals.
What a...
I mean, now that is, if that's not Wanker of the Week, I've got a picture of the boots here as well. I mean, Look at those state of them.
They're lovely.
Now, I'm sorry, there's always...
what a wanker.
What a thank you. So, justified wanker of the week. I mean,
wow. So he just warmed up, he didn't wear it.
No, you couldn't play it. They're rock solid, they're snubbling
crystals. Diamonds are forever.
Exactly. But I'm sorry, there's always a debate about, you know, the old school black boots, you know, a bit flashy now and again, the yellow, the pink ones. But that is an absolute piss
take. Too far.
Anyway, that's my wanker
of
the week.
Do you think, when Predators come out, they have the proper version you can buy,
yeah,
and then they have the slightly cheaper version you can buy.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to do that with those boots? Just put like a load of sequins on.
Sequins. Pike Air Max. Yeah, it's two laughs today.
Actually, we've got a naughty club of the week.
Hang on, I'm still doing naughty boys.
Oh,
Wolves fans. See, they vandalised Sol Solbakken's car.
Oh,
before they got a win in the derby against Birmingham, Marlon King own goal.
Yeah.
It's their own manager, they don't like him apparently. They vandalised his car, and me and Mike are both picked up on this one. I'll let you do it, Mike, because I've done a couple.
Jamie O'Hara, yeah, he's having a tough time.
He's having a really tough time.
Is it something to do with his missus?
No, he's having a really tough time. He's come out on Twitter and said how things were so much easier when he earned £100 a week.
On YTS. Did you see he put WTS instead of Y?
Yeah.
He quickly deleted that. So yeah, basically,
what the shit?
25k. And he came out and said, oh, things were so much easier when I was only on £100 a week.
Banging Daniel Lloyd.
Quickly had to get that off Twitter. But, massive twat. Can I do mine? I did call him the Fat C. Friend of the show, Steve Evans.
Yeah, I'm Steve.
Complaints to Simon Head.
Hi, Steve.
Complaints to Simon Head, Steve, if you're listening. He sent a video of the Rotherham versus Gillingham. We went up to Rotherham on Saturday. Bit of a smash and grab raid. We got 2-1 win. He's sending a video of alleged incidents that he said the referee missed. He said it was bully boy tactics, and we were terrible. One of our players got taken to hospital with a suspected broken neck after a Rotherham challenge. And
Steve Evans pushed him out of the way to get to the buffet.
And he's sending a video of what we've allegedly done to his team, to the FA.
One arsehole.
Massive one of them. But there you go.
Naughty club of the week is Liverpool. Who have officially issued a full apology for tapping up Clint Dempsey in the summer. They've admitted it. And dropping the case. Fulham now dropped the case because they've come out and admitted it freely.
And also, have Liverpool not released a jacket version of that terrible shirt?
Have they?
I'm pretty sure they have.
Oh, magnificent.
Right, a couple of other little things for me. We've got to pay homage to Lionel Messi for surpassing that record.
That's a naughty boy.
Started a club.
Lionel.
So fair play to that.
On that note, do we all see what Zlatan Ibrahimovic said?
Yes, absolutely amazing.
Which is
please, John, same again, please. Pint of San Miguel, lovely.
Which is absolutely wonderful. Zlatan Ibrahimovic quoted on Messi's 86 goal record, quoted as saying,
I'd have scored 90.
I would get 90 goals if I were given penalties as referees give them to Barca.
What an absolute boy.
That was courtesy of NASA football, by the way. That was courtesy of NASA football.
I can't see there being anything to dislike about Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
I love
him.
Stuart is about to cancel Christmas because he's got to go. He wants to mention, was it Daniel Greenford, was that right?
Yes. Something on Facebook. A comment is put, we ask for questions, it's not a question, but...
He wants us to, as you understand it...
I think he wants us to give him one bet a week, and if it comes in, and accumulate it over the course of the season, and give us the money.
So do we have to pay for these bets? That's what
this is what we'll have to talk to him about.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay for anything, but Daniel, it sounds like a good idea, but are you any good at betting? That's what I want to know.
First of all, regular poster on the site, so you'd assume he's got something going for him.
Or not.
He regularly posts on a betting tip website, bettingkingdom.com, which offers cash prizes.
Oh, I thought you regularly posted on our site. That's why I didn't think you had anything going for
him. We're not going to give any money to
anyone. We'll do an update on that next week.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. Right, Dan, I'm going to leave that with you then.
Stu
ain't here next week.
Stu's got to get back.
Need to mention Bolton.
Bolton.
Yeah, Bolton.
Yeah, we love Bolton.
Bolton, yeah.
I like to see Wolfgang Stark, the German referee. This is what I really like to see. He gave a very, very controversial decision in the Borussia Dortmund's home game against Wolfsburg. Wolfsburg won 3-2. At 1-0 to Dortmund, he gave a deliberate handball and a straight red card to one of the Dortmund defenders, where he thought that had basically handled it on the line. replay show it actually hit his knee, was nowhere near his hand, and it was a terrible decision, and it obviously affected the course of the game. However, straight after the game, he came out and said, I've looked at it a few times, and I've realised I made a huge mistake. I apologise.
Fair enough.
From where I saw it, it looked like a deliberate handball. I've given it a lot of love.
Wolfgang Stark, the referee.
Yes.
I would love it if there was a player with the surname Naked who got in trouble, so the headline could be Stark Bollocks Naked.
Stark Bollocks Naked. We'll have that. I think that's absolutely brilliant. Because
I do as well.
If referees actually just came out and were honest and said, look, you've all seen it, you're going to watch a match today, you're going to see it 10 times. I saw it once and I didn't get it. Yeah. Sorry,
Made a mistake. Yeah. It looked to me like it was handball on the line. Yeah. And if I thought it was handball on the line, I've got to give it.
Fair enough, you can't.
Well done, John Day with the beers.
Johnny Day, superstar. Got more beers than Shearer. I've got an interesting-ish, not really, sort of story.
Moving on.
West Ham United have become the first football team to be in The Simpsons.
On The Simpsons,
There have been players in the past. Ronaldo, Fat Ronaldo, quite a guest appearance.
Yeah.
And Ryan Giggs was mentioned in the episode when they went to England, but...
How have West Ham got in there?
In the episode, I watched it, it wasn't very good.
If you blink, you miss it, isn't it?
A really cool... family moving next door with really trendy kids, one of which is called T-Rex. And in his room, above all these like vintage comic books, he has a green West Ham United
green banner. And yellow, isn't it?
Presumably because of the film Green Street. And
this is one of the theories, they think
but
that,
the room is decked out in claret and blue, so it might just be that they've used it to stand up. But
did he blow any bubbles in there?
Well, I don't know what he did in his downtime. I think that's completely up to him.
Did you see the tweet that's got publicised today as well? It's one of the top tweets of this year, where someone tweeted that Andy Carroll yet again looks like he's been given a footballer for the day experience gift as a birthday present, which I thought was genius.
But speaking of tweets, though, really quickly, I never have something decent to say about Nicholas Bentner, but. Fair play to the lad. Straight after the Juve game, where Bonucci made that outrageous dive. He's his own teammate. He's tweeted, "Who shot Bonucci?" Ha ha, winky face, ripping the piss out of his own player, which is actually fucking brilliant.
Nicholas Bentner, I like him because he's a bastard.
He's an idiot.
Thinks he's better than he is.
Yeah, he's just an idiot.
Great.
Right, couple of things from me. First of all, on a somber note, Peter Hillwoods of Arsenal had a heart attack. Yep. I like the fact I did that and John pretended to have a heart attack before I'd actually said it.
Loots.
Yeah, but apparently he's... obviously, I've never dealt with him, I don't know him too well, but apparently he's an absolute gent. And it's one of the main reasons that Arsenal have been so consistent. Yeah, so I just wanted to mention that, and because we like to mention when we see things like that, so... good luck to him in his recovery. Fleetwood have sat Mickey Mellon. I don't know if anyone saw this. Fleetwood have come from absolute non-league obscurity. They've spent a lot of money. The chairman's very flamboyant. He throws a lot of money in the club. Mickey Mellon was a consistent man at that club, and he was really well liked. They've sacked him, they've jacked him, he's out the door.
Three
losses on the trot, but they're still just outside the playoffs in League Two.
It's absolutely
scandalous.
The other thing, they're going to get Alan Pardew in though, so
Graham Alexander.
Alexander was in it?
Yeah. And we've got him on Saturday.
Got 0-0, didn't they? First game.
You best hope they don't get any penalties.
Yeah, no, they'll be alright.
Bring him on to take him.
Last week we mentioned the Hearts, where the 5-1.
Yes.
We also mentioned the Babe Station call.
Yes.
Explain a little bit, like, someone who hasn't listened last week.
This is brilliant.
People who weren't listening, yes. A Hearts fan phoned Babe Station because they've got a thing of getting notable people to hold up five on one hand, one on the other.
Or sluts.
To mock Hibernian.
They're people too, James.
So
they phoned up Babe Station and got one of the girls who normally get asked to do things.
So basically, you phone up. Phone up and they say, "Oh, how are you?" Blah, blah, blah. And then you get to do things.
Rub your tits, love. I'm a bit horny. That sort of thing.
Instead of that, and it was live on
the
TV.
The barmaid walked right up.
They said, "Rub my tits, love. I'm a bit horny." She's like, "I don't want it." We actually found out, we put that on the show, and we actually had our show number 108, the photo was all of us doing the 5-1.
Including me doing it the wrong way around.
It's true. Yeah. And then we found out that we actually know the guy who did it. His name is Simon Laird, friend of the show. He was on Unbelievable Scenes, which was the Scottish version of our show, essentially. We used to host their shows on our site.
He's on Twitter, and I recommend you give him a follow because he's a funny bastard.
He is a funny bastard.
He's
At Mr. underscore Salmon.
That's what I mean. Again,
I believe it's supposed to be phonetic.
Okay, MWESTAH underscore SAHMON. He was the fan that actually made the call, and he sent us the transcript of the actual call, which I've retweeted from the podcast account. So if you crack onto Twitter at Football Podcast, you can see it on there.
Brilliant.
But absolutely genius. Right. Two things quickly. Euro 2020, multinational. Has anyone got anything positive to say about it?
I'm going to play devil's advocate. It gives countries that would never get a chance to host major tournaments the opportunity.
This is what this is what.
The major tournament,
but they're going to host big games. Can you imagine if you live in Riga? Or Vilnius.
Riga, Latvia, what's the other week?
This is what UEFA have said. UEFA have said they haven't got the infrastructure or the finances to be able to host a whole tournament, so they're going to be in that would stand to reason, but the final's going to be at Wembley.
Well, that's the thing. If
it's not been confirmed yet, but it will
if
be.
If all the games end up being held at Wembley in the Stade France and the Stade Olympico camp, it's a bit shit. But
for me, the one thing is it's the fans. Like the fans are the ones that are going to get bastardised for this.
But at the same time, I think the fan cities are going to be great, because again, if you're from Riga or if you're from Cardiff, they could have the final at the Millennium Stadium in theory, because it's a great fucking stadium. That would go absolutely mental, Cardiff, for all the time around that. Whenever they were hosting a game, it'd be a great atmosphere. Yes, I do think it's a shame, because I remember Euro 96, Jim's been out to tournaments, and it is a great fucking atmosphere.
However, they're saying they're going to have teams based in, say, like England are going to be based in Spain. And then you're going to be going to Madrid, Valencia.
It should
Barcelona.
Be that groups are based in certain areas. So
a lot less travelling time.
Basically, we'll see how it develops. But at the moment,
if you had like Group A, Wales, Ireland, Scotland as the hosts, that'd be alright. And then Group B, say Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania.
Yeah. The key thing is how they actually schedule it. So as the podcast, we'll remain open to it for the moment.
And to be fair this enough? Is UEFA, so it will be new camp.
Exactly, this is it.
Another very quick question for debate, which I saw standing at football. Reintroducing standing tiers.
It's been going for a long time.
It's now been officially.
What you want to do, mate?
It's been backed by.
Get yourself relegated to League Two. You don't have to worry about it. It's all standing.
It's what Bradford did.
But it's been Villa being the Premier League club that's backed it. Brentford, Bristol City, Burnley, Cardiff City, Crystal Palace, Derby County.
Quite a few clubs,
quite a few, plus the SPL as well. They're talking about having the stands set up specifically so you can get more in, but European games you've got to have seating built in as well. I mean, I've thought
if it's safe,
it's never
going to
happen.
It won't happen though.
I'd love it to, but it's never going to happen. Germany's the blueprint for that, but it's been rumbling on for those guys have been doing that for 6 or 7 years.
I think especially with Hillsborough at the front of everyone's mind still, that is going to be, rightly or wrongly, the go-to for the opposition to say, well, no, because something like Hillsborough could
happen. It was all about the barriers, isn't it? But anyway.
Yeah. Right, two things before we get on to Mike. I know Mike's got a couple of points that I asked him to do from last week. The England 2012 Player of the Year shortlist has been drawn up.
Let's move on.
Ashley Cole, Joe Hart, Glenn Johnson, Danny Welbeck, Steve Gerrard.
Literally move on.
Winner,
Steven Gerrard, because he was far and away our best player in the Euro.
For me, they're missing someone. Stuart Downing.
Hey.
Should be on there.
Danny Welbeck for those two flick goals that he did, which are pretty just outrageous flair. Well, and we support flair.
Yeah, and lastly as well, not strictly just football, but I'm actually looking forward to the BBC Sports Personality of the Year.
No,
on
James,
Sunday.
I saw this on a crib sheet and I firmly stand against it. It's nothing to do with football.
It is to do with football because I'm backing Stuart Downing again for this award. So it's bang to do with football.
I will put any money that not a single football nomination takes place, with the exception of potentially either coach or team of the year.
Possibly Torres, Fernando Torres. He scored twice in the weekend. I don't know if you've heard. Match of the day didn't make a big deal of it.
Torres, though, you look at the scoring in all competition, he's not like fifth top scorer in the country. He's in the top 10 scorers in the Premier League this season. He's scored more than Aguero.
Statistically, he's not the best player in the
Statistically,
league.
Statistically, he's the best striker around.
Right, last week, Mike Coxon. I am actually looking forward to the Sports Personality of the Year, just to watch all the stuff that happened.
Jessica Ennis for that arse.
It's not going to be Ennis.
If it's not Bradley Wiggins, it's a crime.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Also, did you know that there's a, you know, Where's Wally books?
Yeah.
There's a Where's Mo book, and it's exactly the same as Where's Wally, but it's just Mo with his hands up like that.
Sorry, Mo book.
Right.
Wouldn't
last week
to spot.
What?
No. It's not in the actual normal Where's Wally book. They've done it a little bit different.
Right.
Yeah. You cretin. Mike Coxon, last week I asked you to look at two
updates
things.
On two clubs, yes.
Darlington and the guy who got a job based on Football Manager.
Yes.
Have you got?
Darlington are now set up as Darlington 1883 in the Northern League, the ninth tier of English football. They're currently top by 4 points. They're playing at Bishop Auckland.
Playing.
And their players include player coach and former Preston player, Sean Gregan.
And Leeds. Player.
Still there.
And Leeds, yeah.
He was at Darlington when they went under.
FC Baku were, of course, now managed by the Azeri version of Stuart Hall.
Is it just me? Our listeners need to let us know. But whenever Coxon, you know, gives a bit of a description of something, it sounds like a TV personality or presenter. It's kind of flirting with the camera a little bit.
Well, that's because I've got excellent stage presence, Daniel.
You forgot his name, though.
Yeah, that's it. I'm like a TV person. I forget all the little people.
You mean so many
really
people
matter anymore.
But for anyone that hasn't listened before, basically, this guy got the job at a club based on his Football Manager career.
He's 21. So
based on his career playing a fucking ridiculous computer game. It's brilliant. It's not ridiculous. It's genius.
Since he's taken over, he's won one, lost one, and drawn one. So better than Harry Redknapp in his first three games.
Yeah, two.
The game last week against Tehran.
And I bet he's on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
I'll see
if he's on Twitter. Their game against Tehran was called off because of a fire at the stadium. And at the weekend, they're playing Garabakh. They're currently ninth in the league. They've got six top scorers, all on two goals. And this is after about 16 games, so they've not really got anyone prolific. And their website is fantastic because the English translations are terrible. I highly recommend going on FC Baku's website.
Alright, cool. Right. Sean Miller is not here for his very fleeting Hastings updates. He's not very good at it. I've been speaking to Dan Willett this week on Twitter, who is the Supporters Club chairman. Going to give you a few little stats. I'm going to rush because we're on 45 minutes. But the capacity for the game has been set at 4,028. Basically, they are playing Harrogate in a replay on Thursday. It's on TV, so
massive,
it's on tomorrow
game,
night.
Massive game.
It's the biggest game in their history by a long mile.
Who have they got in the third round if they...
Middlesbrough away.
That's it.
So the winner of Hastings United versus Harrogate Town, FA Cup second round replay, winner to play Middlesbrough away.
Go on, Hastings.
Come on. I am honestly really excited. Anyway, capacity has been set to 4,028. They've completely sold out of tickets.
Good for them.
It's going to be twice the competitive record attendance. And from talking to Dan on Twitter, the last record attendance was when they played AFC Wimbledon in 2005, and I was at that game. It's the last game I was at the Pilot Field for. So I haven't been back for obviously 7 years, but the attendance then was 1,834.
Bloody hell, that is a difference.
Yeah, so yeah. The overall capacity, the overall biggest crowd was 4,888, which was versus Nottingham Forest in a friendly in 96. So this is going to be
everyone
smash.
Steve Brian Roy,
it's a shame
doubt.
Forest were a big club by then.
Ian Welwyn, Steve Stone, Brian Roy, just before Van Hooydonk.
Yeah, he probably didn't turn up Van Hooydonk. Yeah. No, you know what I'm saying. They were a big club by then.
Steve Chattel, of course.
So yeah, it's absolutely massive, and they're in good form as well. They've got one loss in 13.
How are you, Hastings?
And since the second round first game, they've won 3-2 at Worthing and drawn 2-2 at home with Concord Rangers.
Anyone knows going to was it away at home or Worthing?
It was away at Worthing in a.
It's not a nice place.
It's just
to
out
go Worthing,
from Brighton.
Nice Italian restaurant there, though.
And it's a League Cup game. So the game.
That's what are you talking about?
Yeah. Gentlemen, please, this is serious. The game is on ESPN tomorrow night. If you listen to the podcast on the day of release, it is today. So Thursday, the 13th of December.
Tonight. Which is tonight, tomorrow, yeah. But tonight.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It was yesterday, if you're listening on Friday.
I'm genuinely excited.
And they won.
So good luck to Hastings.
Last loss, last straw.
Good luck to Hastings. Good luck to Sean Ray, the player manager. Good luck to Dan, who's the sports club chairman.
Goldberg.
Good luck to all of them. I'm absolutely buzzing for it. And if anyone's listening from Hastings, you can send me a Hastings Observer from Friday. I'd absolutely love that. That's the local paper in Hastings, and I haven't seen one in about 2-3 years since all of my family moved out of Hastings. I'd bloody love a Hastings Observer, but that's beside the point. So come on, Hastings. And we're obviously short, it's Sean's section, so we're going to follow the winner of that up to Middlesbrough, and we'll update from that as well. So, right, any more?
Well, very, very quickly, it's been neglected for a long time now because I've been.
Hey, I did the heart while you were away.
Did you?
It went swimmingly.
Oh, did you?
Everyone loved it. Nobody cares now, you fuck.
Well, do you remember where you got up to? Anyway, I'm going to do while I was away.
Actually, whilst you're talking, Mike Wilcox wants to have the Balotelli book review.
I'll leave it out.
We did all...
Yeah. Leave it out, Mike.
I sent a tweet today asking our listeners if they've got anything they want us to talk about.
Mike, I'll do it, Mike.
Mike Wilcox, Balotelli's Diary, come on down. Hashtag sort it out. Also, while we're talking about that, do you remember Donatello last week? He was the last person to give us a review. We decided his name was Donatello because we had Dean Nadin. Yeah. His name's Darren. He tweeted us, Donatello here from last week's podcast. It's actually Darren, but loving the new ninja name. Keep up the good work, lads.
Anyway, back to Melbourne Heart.
No, one more.
What?
Ian Johnson tweeted us saying...
Ian's a good lad, I follow him.
Okay. I don't really get this. Why West Ham fans will... Because I said, do you want us to talk about anything or any questions? Why West Ham fans will literally boo anything. A pigeon goes past. Boo.
They're going to hate that episode of The Simpsons then, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Green Banners. Boo.
Anyway, back to the heart.
Hang on. It also might be... They had a player called Samasia Boo. Ian Johnson, if you remember Samasia Boo, they used to boo him. He's their own player, but boo.
I'm just going
to
start talking over
one other thing.
I'll leave it out.
Very quick. This is from Chris, who is at Edster42.
We've mentioned before.
Mentioned him many times. Given discussions of changing the Champions League and Europa League, what do you think about a UEFA Champions League and runners-up in 116 UCL? UEFA Champions League with 116.
Bollocks.
Yeah?
Bollocks.
John Day, Leeds.
116 bollocks. Anyway.
It's not really the Champions League, is it?
No, it's a league.
We've always said that. We want champions,
it would
just
be
champions.
A league.
There you go.
Anyway.
Right.
Melbourne Heart. Week later, probably one of the best results of the season so far, which has happened this week, last weekend just gone.
He's just like a TV presenter, like me, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
The shuffling some favours. Melbourne Heart against...
like Gazza, the Roving Reporter.
Melbourne Heart is very close to mine, thank
Sorry,
you very much.
We're talking about Gazza.
It's important. No, we're talking about
He's
Melbourne
had trouble
Heart.
With Israel recently. You leave Gazza alone.
Look, leave Israel and Gazza alone.
Oh.
So, Melbourne Heart, massive
Friends
game.
Which we can turn
Will
up.
You still is leave it out?
Where are all these Belgians coming from?
Do you know what? Our Australian fans will be really upset about this if you don't let me tell this.
Sorry, listen.
Down under.
They're going to be more upset about that. Right. A last minute strike for debutant. I know, this is ridiculous. Golgol Mabratu.
His name is not Golgol.
His name is Golgol Mabratu. Right.
He should have scored twice.
Golgol Mabratu.
So good they named
Mabratu, sorry, has come on. And after on the 78th minute.
Where's he from? Do we know?
We don't know. I'll have to find out. He was handed his debut off the subs bench in the 78th minute. 11 minutes later, in the 89th minute, after being put through by Tadic, slotted the ball home to give Melbourne Heart a last-minute victory against Perth Glory and get a little bit of revenge back from last year's playoffs. So a massive result for Heart. They really needed the points. They're up to sixth in the table now. They're only. I
bet John's happy, isn't he? John Aloisi.
It's absolutely fantastic. A really, really big result.
It's 3 wins, isn't it, this season?
Yeah, 3 wins now. I mean, to be fair, they've taken 5 points
Did they not play?
Games.
Was that last weekend? I'm sure I saw them winning 3-2 on Twitter.
No, that was the youth team, I think.
Youth team, fantastic. The youth team won 3-2 on Twitter.
And also, there was...
Jay will be pleased. He loves the reserves.
Loves the youth team, doesn't he? Today as well, to mark the 12th of the 12th, they've unveiled their third kit.
Is it black and white, or have you just printed it out
How's that to commemorate 12-12-12?
It's to do with... they wanted to launch it today on 12-12-12.
Why? That does not commemorate the date, is it?
Yeah, you know, it's bullshit. It's the first time for 89 years that it's going to be 12-12-12. There's no such thing as 13-13-13.
What's that got to do with the kit?
That's what they... I don't know. I read it. They wanted to do it on this today.
Wait, hold on. Did you just say it's the last time for 89 years that it's 12-12-12? It's not. It's the last time
it's
for
ever.
Years.
And also, until
you can do the 1-1-1 or the 2-2-2. Can I just point out as well? 4-4-4.
You've printed out a copy of this kit, which
in
is
black and white. I know we haven't got a colour printer, Jim.
It's a lovely kit, and he's printed it in black. What colour is it?
Navy blue, I think, but I'm colourblind.
It's a lovely kit. I don't know what colour it is, and I'll print it in black and white.
And it's got the red and white. Tips of the sleeves.
How do you know that's red and white?
Because I saw that.
You're colourblind.
Oh, it could be green and white.
Don't talk about that to West Ham. They'll go mental.
But do you know what it is? It was a competition. It was a competition for supporters to send in their designs.
Why didn't we get told about this? We could have sent one in.
I know. But this was a winner.
It would have been coloured like a vaguely brown grey jumper. Could have been lovely.
Anyway, well done the Heart.
I hope West Ham do that. We could give them a green kit as their new kit. Yeah. So West Ham are now the Greens.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
This weekend, we're away to Central Coast Mariners. Big game, tough game. Good luck to Hart.
Good luck to Hart. Right, a little bit of housekeeping for you because we are on a massive 54 minutes. Email us.
I've been talking for ages to me, but I'm enjoying this.
Email us. banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. Can you be quiet while we do the housekeeping?
Oh, okay. Fuck him. Can you be quiet? Can you be quiet?
Arkham, where are you from? Rotherham.
Don't talk about
Arkham.
Don't beat me up, please. Email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook, www.facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. No one's actually going to put that into their browser. Just go on Facebook and search The Football Podcast. You'll find us. Complaints, as ever.
At Simon Head.
Always the same. Oh. Visit the website, www.footballpodcast.co.uk. Most importantly, follow us on Twitter, @footballpodcast. That everything's on there. Mike, take your jumper off. I'll take my jumper off. We've got goalposts.
We have got
See you next week.
I think we should just...